They call me a Keebler elf. Because I want to go to fudge college, honestly.
I was wondering where that was going to go.
At dinner, I always order my favorite meal. Glamour with a side of delusion.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Stacy. I'm Travis.
And this is Privileged Twinks.
Mm-hmm. It's a podcast
where we talk about
The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City,
Season 3,
Episode
Meow Meow Meow
2.
You forgot.
No, I just wanted to do the sound effect.
We did get their in taglines for the season. Do you want to go over those real quick?
Absolutely.
Okay, first was Jen, and she said, "I'm fighting for my life, not your approval."
And then appropriate.
Yeah, but the did you notice the clip they chose for when she's saying this?
No.
It's like her with a giant bottle of champagne, like going like, "Wah!" It just seems weird that they chose that one.
Yeah. Or purposeful.
Maybe, like
because turns out she wasn't innocent the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't blame her for being so serious about it, because it is a long time. Even if she's not dying, like, it, just as an aside too, not that I definitely think people should be punished for breaking the law and crime and all that stuff, but if you think about it, sometimes I'm like, sentencing in America is kind of wild. Like, the amount of years people get for things, you know, I would feel like something on your permanent record and just being locked up for 6 months is like, that would be a long time.
And paying it back.
Right. 6 months of not being able to work, you lose your job, you lose all that income, you have a mark on your record, and you've been stuck someplace you didn't want to for like half a year. Like, that seems like a lot.
Yeah.
And some people get put away for like seemingly small things for like decades. Yeah. It's wild.
Oh, Biden did pardon every post, like retroactively.
He actually did it.
He did it. He put out a pardon today. Wow. For anybody who was federally charged for marijuana charges.
Oh. Yeah. Fascinating.
I know, but I don't really understand. How do you get federally charged and not state charged?
That seems pretty obvious.
I mean, like, what's the difference? What makes it go federal?
If it's intrastate.
If it's interesting. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. Only interesting cases are prosecuted by the federal government. Anything that I think... I mean, I don't know all the rules. I think they have jurisdiction if it's involving federal land, like state parks. If it's interstate. If it's maybe something involving over the border. I don't know if that how that works.
Yeah.
Well, but if the charges were filed by the federal government, then it's a federal charge.
I mean, I knew that. Anyway, I mean, that's a pretty big win, though. I feel like. A good shed of glimmer of light in this dark news cycle that we're in right now.
Right. Not everybody may be familiar, but, you know, the war on drugs has caused a lot more harm than good, and a lot of people have been sentenced to long things for inconsequential, in our opinion, charges.
Yeah.
You know, you may not agree. And this is not a political podcast, but...
Apparently it is, though.
We have 25% of the world's prison population, even though we're
in
only...
In the U.S.?
Yeah, even though we're like... I mean, I don't know the accuracy of that statistic, but I think that's true.
It is this terrifying thing of, like, thinking about going to jail. Like, obviously Jen kind of knows she is in these... points. Well, maybe doesn't know, but like there's a good possibility that she is when this is being filmed. But it's just like this weird looming thought of like, if I do something wrong, I'll could go to jail forever. Like, that's just like such a crazy thought of like, at any day. Right. I mean, I guess you have to break the law, but still.
Right. No, it's yeah.
All right. Whitney's is I am more of a free spirit without the Holy Spirit. Like?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, they show her being, like, really kooky.
Kooky dooky.
Lisa's is, I'll always have your back if you stop stabbing me in mine. That's the best one, I think.
I wonder if something... Oh, I guess the allegations of her affair is the stab in the back. I was like, for the start of the season, it's like, you were the backstabber, kind of. But
yeah,
it seems, yeah. Also, I feel like she's doing the same thing as she did last year, which is winning the season.
You think Lisa's already winning the season?
Yeah, I already like her much better.
Yeah, she is coming out. The Whitney-Lisa duo that we got a glimmer of this episode, I feel like I'm going to really like that.
But even on her own, I mean, I don't want to get into it because I think we'll probably come across the points, but she already feels much more genuine. Like she did last season. She just tried to do damage control, which didn't work. And she shouldn't have.
Yeah.
It fully. But anyways, we'll move on.
And then Meredith says, when I take a shot, I always hit my mark. I wish she said, when I take a shot, I always hit my marks.
Oh. That sounds self-inflicted, though.
I guess. But don't you think funny. They're putting Mark in there because it's their last name? Or no?
I didn't think about it that way. But some of them, do you ever do that with people? Like, you always think of them, like, their first and last name. But, like, Meredith is a person I just called Meredith in my brain. I don't ever say Meredith Marks.
Oh. I feel like...
In my brain. Even when I think about her.
Celebrities, like, when I think of them, I think of their first and last name.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But it's not everybody for me. Like, Angelina Jolie. I think Angelina Jolie. Every time I think of her.
Yeah.
Which is not that often, but just as an example.
I think because we talk about them so much, I think about them in their first names, but like...
But Heather, I think Heather Gay. No, I think Heather. Shaw. Right. I think it's because maybe there's like a shorter, nice flow, whereas Meredith Marks. It's a lot of...
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I just call her Meredith in my brain.
I love a plural name.
And maybe that's it.
And Brooks has two.
Brooks's Moxes's.
Brooks's Moxes's. And then Heather's is, I may be a bad Mormon, but I'll always be a good time. I don't love that one.
No, it is kind of boring. And she also said it. It sounds like they edited it weird, so it doesn't... It was like, what?
I think some people are bad at, like, reading things and, like, saying them.
Yeah.
Like, Erica Jane's are always really, really sound bad to me. Like, the way that she... The cadence of it and everything.
Yeah.
I think some people just, like, can't get it.
Yeah. I feel like... somebody said it on... somebody had commented on Twitter randomly that they were, like, another Mormon tagline.
Yeah. But it's because Bad Mormon's the name of her book.
Right. No, I get it. It makes sense. But I also... So I was like, yeah, I mean... Her storyline continues, I guess, in that respect.
Who was it that was talking to us, or maybe I saw it on Twitter, about like, oh no, it was on Las Culturistas. They were talking about how in right away, Whitney is like kind of stealing the Bad Mormon storyline and like taking it one step further. And they were saying like maybe Heather is kind of like either jealous of, like maybe jealous of the fact that she is
but she wouldn't.
Going one step further than she could ever go.
Oh, I was going to say she couldn't know that while filming the season, but they did do the ledger thing.
Exactly. You don't think so?
I don't think that.
I didn't think that either. I was just...
I mean, she did write a book about it, but Heather's experience is her experience regardless of what Whitney does or not.
Right.
And her book is still... It doesn't make Heather's book less relevant.
And
it doesn't make her own experience less relevant. It's just different.
Wasn't something about Whitney's marriage or something that the church like already kind of kicked her out a long time ago?
Yeah.
So.
Excommunicated. Because of her, the way her and her husband, they were both married when they started. They had an affair and then they got married.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you want to go ahead and get into the episode? What was your thoughts overall?
Very heavy.
I mean, we should say... I guess a trigger warning that this episode is going to talk about abuse, just by the nature of what the episode was about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I actually really liked the episode though. I feel like I like having five. I like having like a core group of five that you know everything about.
I see that. However, I think it works because everybody is... genuine to some degree or interesting. There are other times there's been small cast members and just not enough is happening.
But I like this cast of five.
I was gonna say, I think it's specific. Salt Lake is delivering.
Yeah.
And has been. And it's so much better. I think it's because they just talk about real things.
Yeah.
It's very real all the time.
I was going to say the shaman thing, like, seeing all five of them go... I mean, yes, Meredith came late, but, like, all five of them go full on into, like, meaning exactly what they're saying, like, actually mm-hmm. participating, actually having an emotional response, like, all of them.
Yeah.
That, I feel like you don't really see that a lot on TV, with reality TV.
Right.
It's like, oh, let's do this. And that's yeah. it. They don't actually, like, actually try.
Yeah. I mean, we were just watching, for those who watch multiple franchises, the Beverly Hills season is going. And it's like the biggest drama is who leaked the story. Even though, and then, you know, a little bit of family tension, which they're trying to avoid for obvious reasons. But, like, they're not really talking about feelings. They're just, like, a bunch of finger pointing and...
True.
Look at my... expensive things, which is entertaining in its own way, but I think Salt Lake to me is so much better because it feels like they're all very real and willing to talk about it to some extent, some yeah. more than others, you know. But
it's also, it's interesting that, like, I mean, I might be jumping the gun here, but when Meredith later on says, like, well, it's bringing up a lot of hard feelings because last time I was with all these girls on a trip, they weaponized my father, or my father's death against me and all this stuff, and it's like, it's interesting because they definitely have this, like, bond, obviously, from the show and everything, and you can tell they actually hang out a lot outside of the show.
Yeah.
But also, it's interesting that, like, they kind of also all have little hatred of each other. Anyway, I liked the dynamic a lot of this episode, and I like their vulnerability that they all... don't have a problem with showing each other, which I think is maybe a issue that's on the other ones. Like, a lot of times when they do something like a sound bath or a psychic or something, it's like one or two of them might be really into it and the other ones are kind of making a joke about it or not really paying attention. This seems like they actually all feel comfortable enough with each other to do these kinds of things and actually go all the way.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think a lot of other ones do that.
Right. Even Meredith, who said she wasn't really feeling like being vulnerable, was willing to... say, yeah, and say things, you know. And she even expressed, she said, I was anxious about doing this because I didn't want to be vulnerable. I mean, even that is, and maybe they're not, like, 100% real with each other all the time, but they talk about real things.
Yeah.
Things that, like, everybody, relatable, real things.
Yeah. Like flying American.
Stupid.
Okay, anyway, all that being said, obviously, we're going to try to talk about a lot of these topics from a point of personal relationships with it and not try to, like... I just want to say, like, when we get to these parts, I don't want to... I know this is a light podcast, but it might get a little bit heavier because this episode is heavier.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to do the best to talk about these subjects in, like, a manner that's not just joking. But let's go ahead and start recapping it. So we open with Meredith and Seth playing tennis, asking if they'll give her a 3-hour massage if she wins. We have Heather talking to Ashley on the phone. She's going to, like, fraternity parties and stuff, which she says Thursdays weren't a big deal at BYU. And then we have Lisa's kids talking a little bit about college. This isn't, like, the full-on part, but we do see Henry wearing a Gucci tracksuit, <Yeah. laughs> which I love. And then we get right into it with Jen talking with her mom.
Yeah.
Which is also a heavy conversation. But I do want to note, like, every time that they have a charcuterie board in this episode.
So many.
And draw attention to it. I feel like even the cameramen were, like, zooming in on it. Because they knew it was mentioned so many times.
Charcutes.
Anyway, she says, like, ever since the legal situation, her mom's been there to lean on a lot. And, like... she does say again, the fact that she's been accused of all these things while being innocent is really hard. This isn't a confessional. And then to her mom, she says she had a mock trial and she only stormed out twice.
Yeah.
Which part of me is almost like, was she actually, like, really terrified to also be in court?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't sound easy.
I also wonder, I mean, this is a hard thing about, like, when you get to listen to somebody tell their side of it, because, and they could be lying, you never know. But, you know, listening to somebody, the way she even talks about it in the context of, like, what we already know at this point, you know, the thing we keep saying, like, new things are coming out all the time. It's like, I wonder if this, at this point, if she thought she was saying it because she thought, as of what was already out, that she would be fine. And then later something comes out that she just can't, like in Discovery or Filed or whatever, she was talking about that, like...
You mean during, like, okay, this filming, she thinks she's still fine?
Yeah, I wondered if this moment in time, based off everything she knows about the trial, she thinks, I didn't do these things, and I'm gonna... It'll be fine.
Part of me thinks at this point she's already kind of accepted it.
Okay.
That she's gonna be charged.
What makes you say that?
Well, because a little bit later, her mom keeps saying, like, we're gonna get through this. No matter what, we have to get through this.
Right.
Which I feel like she would say, like, you're not gonna go to jail. We're, like, at this point in this, like, from what Jen is projecting, I do agree with you. But from what the mom is putting out there, it kind of, to me, feels like,
yeah.
And, like, the kid crying about it. Well, maybe the kid doesn't know as much as the mom, but a lot.
But people know people. Maybe they, like, sense something is wrong.
Yeah. Well, and also Jen later saying that, like, she just got a call in the middle of the night that was, like, about them finding more evidence and stuff. It's like, I think little by little things are going to keep coming up that are, like, she knows it's bad. And they might already be coming up to her lawyers, and only she knows about them.
Yeah.
But part of me, at this part, felt like she is saying that the only things keeping her here... I mean, that's also a trigger warning. She's talking about, like, killing herself.
Self-harm, yeah.
Are her family. And to me, it almost feels like if she didn't think she was going, she would say, like, the only thing keeping me here is... Or she wouldn't even say that.
Yeah, but I mean... The only side note to that, in my opinion, is that she's also expressing how it feels to deal with the online criticism when people really talk about her as if she's guilty already.
That's true.
And how, like, she's just bombarded with the reality of her legal situation and how it affects her family. And then on top of that, she's just getting an onslaught of criticism online, which... Yeah. Breaks down, you know, and as any, that's like a cultural thing that we're dealing with at this time, because social media is not, in the grand scheme of things, that old.
I mean, I don't even have that many followers, and I get bombarded every day if I were to actually read the comments.
Yeah.
Which I try not to, but she definitely, I mean, I get all that, but it's definitely, I think she also is one of those people that takes the comments to...
She does.
She reads too much into them. Like, even when there weren't legal problems going on, like, the whole responding to Brooks and... Or, like, about Brooks and stuff. Like, I don't think she... Some people I just don't think were meant to have this many people commenting about them. And I feel like she's one of those people.
Yeah. I will say...
We comment about her.
I appreciate it. You know, I can't imagine... I'm not a parent, so I don't know what it's like to watch your child basically say that they're... you know, in a tough situation, and they might harm themselves.
Right.
And I thought that her mom handled the situation very well.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
You know, like, just saying, I want you here, you know, and hopefully that's enough. Because, like, you don't know what to... I mean, you don't know the answer to everything, or, like, how to fix everything.
It did... I mean, I know at the end of the day, she did do these things. Like, we know that for a fact now. But...
Or she did something.
She did something.
Maybe she didn't do all the things, but she did something.
She did something that made her confess that she was guilty, too.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, at the end of the day, it is a sad situation. Like, very sad for her family. And this part really made me feel, like, really bad for her kids. And Sharif, but...
Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, that's... In every crime, there's people
that... Exactly.
And they have families, and it's a lot to take on. I don't really personally want to work in the criminal justice system because I think it's too heavy.
Yeah. It is. It's crazy how, I don't know, like, whenever there's someone guilty, there's, like, two families that are fucked.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, and that's, yeah.
There's this really good podcast called Happy Face, if anyone's interested in true crime. Her dad was a serial killer, and it's very heavy, but it's also very good. It, like, makes you, I don't know. She was, like, grappling with, like, am I a bad person because of these things that happened to other people that I didn't have any control over?
Right.
It's a really good listen if you haven't, if you're into true crime. Okay, so then we're at Whitney's house, and I wrote that her... I don't know if any of these listeners have watched Studio McGee, or what's called?
A Dream Makeover?
Dream Home Makeover on Netflix.
Something like that, yeah.
But it's in Salt Lake City, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Whitney's house looks like it's in the neighborhood that she lives in. Like, yeah. They're, all the houses, all the rich people's houses look the same, and the neighborhoods look the same.
Uh-huh.
They're, like, very new, kind of farmhouse with beautiful mountains all around it.
Yeah. The inside, though, do you think is very Studio McGee? The decoration, the interior?
No.
You just mean the house itself.
The outside. Yeah. The interior, kind of, though. Do you think it's richer looking or not?
No, I didn't think about it.
They don't show the inside too much, though, in this episode. So I'm not really, like, I'm not really gauging it on anything. But... So, our second charcuterie of the day, Meredith.
Which, guys, if you don't know, charcuterie's out, butterboards are in.
Butterboards?
Get with the times.
I saw a TikTok and it was like, butterboards are for skinny people. If I showed up to a party with a butterboard, they'd be like, what the fuck, you fat bitch? Why'd you bring a plate of butter?
Oh my God.
So, there's a cute moment where she's like talking to her son and she's like, you know, Meredith has a son named Brooks, too. And he just like, does that little kid thing, like, with the hoodie and just runs away.
Adult speaking. Must leave.
Cameras in my face.
Yeah.
So this is when they kind of, like, start talking a little bit about the Lisa situation. Whitney asked if she had fun at the party. And Meredith was like, it was really awkward. She calls Lisa hypocritical. She's like, if she's always telling everyone about everybody else... that's hypocritical. And then they show this part where she's like bad-mouthing everyone on the show.
Yeah.
They show her.
The editors are so on this show.
they're chef's kiss. They're having so much fun with the garbage whore thing.
They said, we do not need you to bring receipts to the reunion. We will do it for you in episode
two.
Ding, 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 ding.
So it shows her talking trash about Whitney having a stripper pole. They show her talking about Heather, like, flashing everybody in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show her saying that Jen is sleeping with other people.
Right.
And then they show just the whole garbage trash or rant, which is pretty funny.
They didn't show the whole thing,
No, but...
You knew what it was.
It's like these little tiny digs, and then it's like, she's a fucking trash whore! What the fuck happened? Then Meredith and Whitney are like in these chairs outside with the charcuterie. She says it's interesting that Lisa is trying to like spread these rumors about her when there's all these rumors flying around about Lisa. And then Whitney's like, what have you heard? Spill the tea. And then she said that Jen had made reference to affairs. And Whitney said, what do you know? And then Meredith crunches so loudly on these crackers. They had to have done that afterward with, like, Foley. Don't you think? Because they always talk... They always show them talking while they're eating. So there's no way that the microphone picked up, like... Like, I don't think that that would happen. So I think they edited in afterward sounds of someone crunching really loud on a cracker and then sounds of someone, like, gulping a drink.
Oh. I didn't really notice it, that... The sound, like that.
Well, maybe it's because I saw this clip on Twitter, like, 2 days ago before, like, a preview. And I had my headphones in, and it's, like, loud.
Maybe it's only on Twitter.
No, I mean, it was on the TV. It just...
You could hear it. The gulp. Loud.
Yeah.
Oh. It was weird that she... It wasn't weird, but it was funny that she shoved it in her mouth to not answer the question.
And
I also like...
the question.
Yeah. And then I also like that... She doesn't want to talk about Lisa. She's not bothered with Lisa. She doesn't want to talk about Lisa. But here we are, is talking about Lisa. And also saying, I think they said it towards the end. It's like, I don't want to talk about behind her back, even though they've been talking about her for like
the whole episode. Yeah. And yesterday. And last episode.
Uh-huh.
But basically what she says is she heard, this is a quote, I just heard she's been doing favors to get people to pick up Vita Tequila. And then she said, I have no idea if it's true. It sounds absurd. And then Whitney said that she's heard the same thing. This is when there's a loud gulp.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, I have a wealthy friend of Lisa and I's, and I heard that she slept with him to sway him to invest in her businesses.
Yeah.
And then this is when Meredith says, I feel bad talking. Or no, Whitney says, I feel bad talking about her.
I feel, I have strong opinions about this. So, are you done recapping?
Yeah.
Okay. I have strong opinions about this because I think that this is a mistake. I understand that they're... Let me formulate my thoughts. Stop. I feel like, I understand that they're trying to talk about things, rumors, and that's normal for housewife stuff. Okay. What I think is a mistake about this, especially for these people, is that this is a very, like, common trope with women that True. The only reason that they're successful is because...
they slept their way to the top.
Exactly. It's, like, ingrained a little bit in culture. It's in every anti-harassment course I've ever taken for work, you know, where they go over the things and that's some... It's the accusation that a woman's only good because she's used her body to get in front of the man.
Yeah.
That's the only reason you have a girl boss. Like, that's not, you know. But some people, that's just a bad stereotype to buy into, and I think they shouldn't do it unless they had...
Proof. Yeah.
Because... it's all hearsay at this point. And if there's no proof, then it's like you're just furthering this conversation. And you're taking something that's like an easy thing to throw at somebody.
And doing it.
Yeah. Because there's
no way... feeding into the narrative, basically.
Yeah, and there's no way for her to... you know, she can deny it. But there's no proof. If they don't have proof, but she doesn't have proof that she didn't do it. If she doesn't, because you know...
It's also... I mean, like, for someone who's all about family... it's like, making these accusations could hurt a family.
Yeah.
Does hurt the family.
Well, and I get it, for her, it's retaliation in a way.
I mean, Lisa
also
spread,
you're coming for her.
You fucked half New York, so.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a bad thing to do, too. But I personally just think, and maybe I'm speaking too strongly about it, because, like I said, Lisa has done her fair share of spreading things. But it's just kind of surprising because... they're all, Meredith owns a business, Whitney owns a business,
right.
Heather owns a business, Jen owns a business. They're all business women.
Yeah.
So, like, to accuse somebody of being successful because of their hooch, punan, vagine.
Yeah. You also can't say it's successful, or that she did these things, and then also say she has an unsuccessful business.
Well.
I mean, I guess you can.
I guess they're saying it didn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a weird, I say weird, it's a, I think, a problematic accusation.
Yeah.
Aside from normal things that they discuss.
Yeah, I agree. And so then Whitney is saying that, like, during a healing session, she had all these feelings about Lisa being this big, nasty person. And then in the most recent one, she saw her being, like, a scared little girl, and she's just basically saying, like, because these healing sessions, she's realizing, like, she needs to give Lisa a chance. And then, I guess, this does make itself into fruition later in the episode, it seems like.
This is a very visual instance of Whitney reading the room incorrectly. Because that's not what Meredith said she wanted to do. And also, you could tell on her face that she was not interested in doing it. So
then we go to Lisa and Jack playing basketball. They're talking about, like, his SATs and about him going to college. And he says he'd probably end up richer than if I went to college. If he went to college.
Mm-hmm.
He said he already owns his own company. So, like, he can use that money to start other companies and all this stuff. I did like that she was like, well, you know, you wouldn't have that company if it wasn't for me and Dad working hard.
I'm glad she addressed it because everybody was going to be thinking it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, we do know from that TikTok that he's rich, but I kind of feel like she was talking about how he used to get all these straight A's and stuff, and it made me kind of feel like, okay, he has this company. He's rich for a kid, especially. I mean, that's rich anyway, but that's, like, really rich for a kid. And... he's probably popular because he's on TV.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's kind of a lot of things that have happened to him in the last year that affects his thinking about going to college.
Yeah. I also think there's been a cultural shift in the narrative around college.
Like,
I don't know.
Talk.
Right. Which may not be as much of a concern for him specifically, but I think 2 decades ago, you know, they were really pushing everybody to be as educated as possible to go, because that was the best path to a rewarding career, more money, etc. And you know, if you look at today's current problems, there's lots of highly educated people that are making very little money.
Yeah.
Struggling with debt. They can't buy a home, you know, so it's like this, the whole conversation about going to college was to not just education for academics' sake, but like to further your own success in a career. And that hasn't really happened for a lot of people, even though they put in the work. Yeah. So does he need to go to college? I don't know.
I'm kind of on his side a little bit, but at the same time, I don't know. I worry with like kids of housewives, like it does feel like fame, but is it enough fame to like get you through life? I don't think so.
I don't either, but I think college is great for other things outside of career.
Agree.
I think it exposes you to a lot of different concepts that when you grow up in a town, you know, unless you're in a family that moves quite often, which most people don't, you're not exposed to a lot of different communities, a lot of different ideas. You don't see that people live differently.
Yeah.
You know, he's in his own... He is likely, I don't know them, obviously, he's likely in a bubble of sorts, you know, of what he's grown up in. So
rich white people.
College is a way in a space where you don't have to support yourself fully as an adult yet, that you can meet new people, experience new ideas, figure yourself out a little bit. Teaches you critical thinking skills, hopefully.
Yeah, I definitely would not be the same person I am now if I didn't go to college.
Right. So I think it's still beneficial outside of... I think it's failed in the societal sense of, like, advancing people the way people thought about it. But I do think there's a lot of value to it still.
Yeah.
And that he should. And I like that she said, you know, if we weren't here to invest in your business.
Yeah, me too.
Not just...
But I do love...
That you had the opportunity just because we could help you. But, like, we're still helping you, girl. Yeah. Get it. You know, you can't stand on your own 2 feet. You acting like you in some big britches. He was saying he was all ears, but I was like, doesn't sound like you're all ears.
Yeah. But she also wasn't, he was just like, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
She wasn't like, let's keep this conversation going. He's like, I'm gone, bye.
You've said things I don't agree with. I have to leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we get to Whitney post this phone call. So she's saying that she got off the phone with her brother and that, like, she's... needs to talk to Justin, basically. And she was saying that he had also been going through a lot of like healing work too, and that memories were coming up for him in his childhood about her being abused, and like when they were kids. And she's saying this like through tears on the couch with Justin, and then she starts saying that all the memories that she's suppressed are now like flowing through her. And so it's like just this kind of like big gush of like pain, mm-hmm. all from like memories flowing at once, it sounds like. Have you ever experienced anything like that? Something coming back to you?
I mean, like, no, not like this. I would say in the sense of like a memory that I haven't like thought about in a very long time, you know. Not necessarily anything traumatic.
I mean, I'm not saying it didn't happen to her. I was just asking if you ever had something like that happen.
No, in the sense of, like, I haven't blocked out, to my knowledge, large periods of time.
Yeah.
And I sometimes think of things I haven't thought of. It's kind of shocking. It's like, oh, I completely forgot about that. But gotcha. Not in a, I shoved this...
So
deep down. And
yeah.
Right.
I haven't either.
I do have an irrational fear because my memory's not the greatest sometimes. And I had depression as a child. So, like, depression affects your memory, supposedly. So I think some things are gone because I just didn't want to remember them.
Gotcha.
So, but I do have an irrational fear that, like, there's bad things that I don't remember. But I think it's just, like...
depression.
Yeah, I think it's just me being like, what? I don't know.
I haven't experienced that, but it seems like a very overwhelming experience for her.
Yeah.
She's like sharing other things. She doesn't go into a lot of detail, but like saying that there were demons in the bathroom is what her person was saying. And then that when her brother was talking about that, like he was talking about things happening in a bathroom. And then it was really sad. She was like, do you still love me, to Justin? And he was like, of course. Yeah. That's just like such a really, seems irrational, but like, it's just like a sad thing of like, I just told you all these things. Do you still love me? And it's like, it wasn't her fault.
Right. I think this is
happened to her.
Yeah. But that's a common
fear
for people who've been sexually abused.
Yeah.
Like rape victims. Just.
Well, and it's.
This sounds like it was a long, ongoing family abuse.
Yeah.
But even people who have, like, who was like one time by a stranger or something have that, like, they feel. A lot of times they say they feel dirty. They feel like, you know,
I mean,
they've been haunted. Like, people weren't going to value them. And something was taken from them, and therefore they're not as valuable to like a potential partner. And it's very sad because obviously that you didn't do anything wrong, but they still have those.
Well, fears. I mean, it's kind of a rational fear in terms of like how society treats victims too, though.
Right, exactly.
So it's like, it maybe someone wouldn't believe you because these things happen to you, because a lot of times people aren't believed, victims aren't believed.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're treated like, well, why'd you wear those clothes or whatever?
And it's just an example of how damaging sexual abuse is, because like not only is somebody harmed physically, like the act itself, but then they have these like, and the trauma that goes with it, in whatever form it takes with that person, just from the physical action.
Yeah.
But now they have all this emotional baggage that goes with it that they have to deal with. Even though from the outside you feel like you shouldn't feel that way, they still do. So
I feel like Justin also handled that the best he could too.
Yeah.
Like, obviously he didn't go through this, but he was there for her, hugging her. I don't know. I feel like he's a good partner in this.
Right.
Hopefully, going forward, for her to have.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say about any of that?
No. I mean, I hope that it doesn't turn into an accusation that it's not. That's my fear. That it's going to be, oh, she made it up.
Oh, you didn't remember it?
Right.
Convenient.
Although I don't think that's where it's going. But I
hope
just,
not, too.
Yeah.
But that was my first thought, is, like, if you say you don't remember a lot of things, like, people might immediately think you made it up.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that, but people on the cast could hold that over her.
Yeah.
If they decide to be a rude bitch.
Yeah. And I hope, you know, and just from a... it's really sad that that happened to her. I think it's... I'm glad that she was willing to share it on TV.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people don't... I think it's more common than people think, because people don't talk about it. And I think that it's good for people to understand to witness, in a way, the effects it has on people. Because it is really damaging. Those things that happen are really bad.
Yeah.
And the fallout that they have for just everybody around it is really hard. So it was a heavy scene, but like I said, I'm glad she's willing in some way to share it so that people can learn.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is that thing of like, it's a family secret. We don't talk about it. She's talking about it on TV.
Right.
And like,
even though she has
people know that,
even though she has the fear that like somehow she's somehow lesser because of it,
mm-hmm.
You know, so I strongly applaud, and I hope she, you know,
it seems like she's also going to keep talking about it.
Yeah.
Like how she's working through it on the season too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so then we get them all kind of like packing their luggage, about to go on this trip to Arizona. Jen says she wants to throw a garbage trash whore lingerie party, which is hilarious.
And Sharif was appalled by.
Also, they're all kind of like complaining about the fact that they aren't going out of the country or like on like some big trip. And then Whitney was like, I don't think Jen can leave the country. Which is probably true.
No, it definitely is true.
But that's like a weird thing. That was kind of like, oh, right. Like they're all having this, gonna go on this fun girls trip. And it's like, oh, right. One of them might be or is.
Yeah. You can't go to Bali and take Jen with you.
So Whitney and Lisa end up going a little bit early. They show them with a ton of luggage. That was like giving me anxiety thinking about having that much luggage in the airport. Like just having to deal with all that before you even get checked in.
Right.
And so Heather is talking about how Arizona is just Utah, but hotter and with more white people.
If that's somehow possible. I haven't really been to Arizona enough, I think, to gauge that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never really been to Utah. But we went to Arizona on the way when we were moving to California. And, I mean, we really just saw our two friends, and then we went to a pizza restaurant and then back to their apartment. So it's not like we saw the city.
Yeah.
And also maybe, like, different parts are... I'm sure Phoenix is more diverse than other parts of Arizona, too. If I had to guess.
Yeah.
Just because it's a big city. Okay, so then Whitney's basically saying, like, she doesn't know if she's going to talk about these things to the women yet because it is a big piece of information. Like, it's a big thing about her that she doesn't know. She's just now dealing with, and she doesn't know if she wants to, like, talk about it yet with the ladies.
Right.
I guess her brother lives there. A different brother lives there, and she called him and was like, we can talk. So I'm guessing that's probably going to be a conversation that we see later on happen, since they brought him up. We see Lisa and Whitney have this, like, nice moment by the hot tub, or in the hot tub. Whitney does the classic, put the martini in your boobs, or I guess margarita. It's nice to see them having fun together, though.
Yeah.
Like, actual fun together. Do you not think so?
Yeah.
And then Lisa's kind of talking about how, like, in her childhood, she had to raise her siblings. And that when she tells people that she feels like they're a sister to her, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And she doesn't always feel like people actually mean it back when they say things like that. Case in point, Meredith.
Yeah. I think she was saying not her lived experience is that.
Yeah.
She doesn't get that back.
And then the other ladies show up, and Jen has, like, a chicken balloon. I don't really know what was going on with the whole...
They didn't go into that at all. Nope.
But then, basically, they were just, like, they all come, and the main point of this is that everyone, it seems like, is a little awkward with Lisa, but especially Meredith, like, doesn't even say hi.
Yeah. That's bad, in my book.
Not saying hi. That's, like, your one thing. You say that a lot, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you're not acquaintances with some, or even if you're just acquaintances.
Yeah. I don't know if it's personality or if it's nature or nurture, right? I don't know if it's because of how I was raised or just the way that I am. But if I don't speak to you, it's because we got a problem. If I know you, if I've been introduced, you know what I mean? It's different if you don't.
But they do have a problem.
Huh?
But they do have a problem, though.
I know, but it's, like, a big problem. Like, to me, that's what I'm saying. I'm like... fully, like, done with you. Like, F you. Like,
gotcha.
Because it's just and not everybody feels the same, obviously, but I just feel like it's courtesy. It's like a I see you thing. Like, there's no question. I'm not, like, ignoring you. We might not be best friends. I might not enjoy somebody's company, but if I'm at a party, you know, and I come into contact with somebody, we say hello because, you know, like,
yeah,
you know that person.
Exactly.
And, yeah. And I'm not saying, like, I just go, if I go to a party where, like, everybody I know, I'm not going to, like, walk around and say hello to everybody, you know, right away.
Right.
But it's just, like, in interacting with people, like, you're in close proximity, you should acknowledge them.
Yeah.
Acknowledge the existence.
I was actually thinking about how in college, I, like, it was such a small campus that, like, one way or another, I knew almost everybody. And how many times I was walking through campus and just, like, be like, hey, 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 so many times.
Do you know, like, in small towns where my mom's from, that everybody waves at each other when they drive past?
Yeah. And they do that in my family's
hometown. People get mad if you did it.
Yeah. I think it's more like the people on our road. Mm. When we pass them on our road, everybody waves in the cars. And then everybody, if people are standing on their porch or something, they always wave.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this part was pretty funny. They're all, like, drinking. Like, they all physically have already made drinks. And then Whitney says, like, the shaman recommends not drinking. And then it, like, zooms in on Meredith's hand with the martini glass in it. So then they assign all the rooms. The only thing I mainly wanted to point at was this house is, like, really weird. It's, like, very dated, but also, yeah. Like,
I'm glad they
said
it, though.
She has an indoor-outdoor living area for her room.
Yeah.
Like, that's so weird.
I don't think the indoor-outdoor thing is weird. I just think it's weird, like, how it's a rental that people seem to be using, but they haven't updated it at all.
No, I love the idea of, like, indoor-outdoor bedroom, but it doesn't feel like the type of house that would have that, is what I meant as weird.
Oh. Well, what type of house?
Modern.
Oh.
No? You know, I'm thinking of, like, the big square houses that you hate. Like, a lot of those rooms seem to have, like, kind of, like, pocket doors that then lead to just big patio.
Yeah.
No?
I think there's a lot of architectural history where there's, like indoor-outdoor blends.
Ancient Greece. Okay, so then Heather and Whitney have, like, a powwow in the room. Mainly, they were just talking about how Heather also is kind of aware of some of the... Or she's just making Heather aware of the cheating things that they were talking about.
Yeah.
That her and Meredith were talking about Lisa.
I was interested in this because she says she feels bad about it because she's connected with Lisa, and obviously she was, like, repeating rumors with Meredith, so now she feels guilty about it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, how much time went past? Because it does not... It's the same episode that you were... You know what I mean?
I think maybe she...
Because she was with Lisa before, then she was with Meredith and talked about her, and now they're on this trip. So, like, when... I'm confused with the timeline.
I think Whitney is basically, like... I think her whole kind of concept of the season is, like, she wants to get to know Lisa better and she wants to actually give her a chance because of the healing stuff that she's been doing. And I think...
Yeah, but all that was true when she was talking to Meredith.
I know. And I think maybe she was, like, I don't know. You know when you get just gossiping? You know, like, so someone says something and you're like, I've heard that too. And then now she's like, fuck, I feel bad that I engaged with it.
Okay.
That's kind of how I got. Like, maybe it has been a couple of weeks, but I don't think it's been... long enough that things have really changed with Lisa. I think she realizes she's getting closer with her. They took this, like, basically solo trip together to get down there. I mean, that's a long time to get, like, all through security in the airport, on the plane, getting back to the house, being alone at the house. Like, that's a long time to be, like, one-on-one with somebody, even though they didn't really show it because they couldn't have cameras on a plane.
Yeah.
So I think she's, like, getting to know Lisa. She likes the time that she's having with her. And then she's like, I feel bad that I did that.
On camera.
On camera, yeah.
Would you talk about, like, if you had two mutual friends and you heard one of them had done something like that, would you repeat it to them?
To them or to someone else?
You have two friends.
Okay.
That also know each other.
Gotcha.
And friend A, you heard friend A has slept with somebody for work, and now you're talking to friend B. Would you repeat it to friend B?
If it was sleeping accusations, that I would. I think I probably, if it was cheating, I would go to them about it first and ask if it was true. I wouldn't spread it.
You would just tell them that you heard it, that somebody was saying it.
I would be like, I've heard this thing from multiple people that this has happened. I wouldn't spread it
first.
So
do you think, it sounds like they've heard these things before. So do you think they're bad friends for not, like... If they had heard it, do we think they heard it before the fallout?
I don't know. I think so.
So
but
do
also
you?
They
would you
really
think
friends? Well, Meredith was, but
that's what I'm saying. Do you think Meredith, if she knew before, should have told her that she heard these things? Or do you think she did?
Maybe she did. To me, the good friend thing to do is to go straight to them and ask them, like, people are spreading these rumors. Is it true? Do you want me to keep, like, do you want to know who it is?
Yeah.
I think when it comes to something as big as cheating, I'm not going to spread that about people I know. That's, like, a really big accusation with a lot of big consequences, especially if you have a family. Husband and kids.
Yeah.
So, I do think they're in the wrong, but at the same time, if someone else told me that, I don't think I would be like, you need to stop talking about that. I'd be like, ooh. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I will say with this, it seems like, obviously, on the next time on, Whitney and Heather are going to have a big blow up, and maybe things are never the same. So, I mean, that's kind of how they've been talking on Watch What Happens Live now.
Yeah. I just don't get it yet.
I don't get it yet either, but I do. It makes me sad because they are such good friends. Like, they're the ones that shut the door and kiki about people.
Uh-huh.
Like, about what's going to happen on the trip. You know? No, none of the other ones do that.
Yeah.
And maybe we're never going to have that again.
Oh.
I know.
Sad.
Just remember, Travis, we don't know these people.
I know.
Okay, so then they're going to the ceremony. They all sit down. Meredith is running late. And Whitney says, you know what they say, those who need the most healing, avoid healing.
Drops mic. I mean, it was kind of true in the sense that, I mean, which I like that they, Meredith, like I said, was willing to say it.
Yeah.
That she was afraid to be vulnerable in front of them because A, Lisa and B, the whole situation last year, which they were all part of. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of true.
So they all drink cacao, which I've had cacao in like smoothies, but I haven't had it alone. Like, do you think it's just blended up cacao with like milk?
I couldn't tell you.
It tastes, I mean, I've had it in smoothies and it was so little I couldn't taste it, but their faces were very.
I think it's bitter. It's not sweet.
Right.
Yeah.
But their faces were like, this is really bad. No comment.
I mean, yeah. It probably tastes, they said earthy, it's probably like dirt. So, like coffee tastes like dirt if you don't do anything to it.
That's true. Like if you've never had coffee before and you just tasted a cup of it, black. Yeah,
especially a bad one. I mean, there are good ones, don't get me wrong. If you make it right, they are very tasty, but like, they are earthy. And they don't taste earthy if you put sugar and milk in them, you know?
True. So then the shaman is basically like saying to share things that they want to release and things they want to take in. In its place. So Whitney says she wants to let go of past trauma and hurt, and she's calling in oneness. Which does that, you think that means like making yourself like whole?
That's what I got from it.
Yeah.
I don't know if she knew what she meant in the moment, but maybe she was referring to something higher. But I took it as like she's trying to regain her past and deal with it.
Yeah. Heather said she's releasing the shame of not making her family proud, wants to call in love and understanding. Jen is releasing the fear of trial and calling in her innocence and showing her family she loves them every second of every day.
Yeah.
Lisa said she's releasing hurt and sadness and calling in love and support and kindness. And she's already crying, just saying these out loud.
Yeah, I liked that she started off by saying she's not good at it. Because I also relate to Lisa a little bit in that And I think this is maybe a mix, but very nurture in that I wasn't really allowed to always express my emotions. I think some of it's maybe personality. So I find it, I've gotten better at it as an adult, but there was a long time where I couldn't really talk about my feelings with people just because it was very like, the actual act of speaking was difficult because like I would immediately like start shaking and like my voice was like wobbly.
And you still kind of do that sometimes.
Uh-huh. But it was, it used to be a lot harder and a lot worse.
Gotcha.
And it was like, it almost felt like I couldn't talk. Like I was trying to tell myself to speak and I couldn't. And maybe she
has been. She's bad at expressing it out loud.
Yeah, it felt like, and obviously she didn't have an issue talking, but I'm just saying, like, I understand what it feels like to not really know how to, like, get out what you really mean and how you're saying it, because there's something inside of you that's like fighting against it. And I feel like she's got a little bit of that.
I feel like immediately though, it made you kind of be on her side though. Like, not sides is the wrong word, but like, it was that thing of she's being very in the moment and vulnerable, and it made you feel for her and be there with her in that moment.
Right.
I think. So then Meredith shows up late. It's awkward. She has to sit by Lisa. And then they start doing this kind of like heavy breathing exercise where they're all laid down under the blankets, and they literally all start like crying. And the shaman is like kind of going back and forth between all of them. And Jen is crying, talking about how she might miss like things that her boys get to do.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know I was going to cry multiple times in an episode, but yeah. I feel like when Whitney was talking earlier and then this moment, it was just like very emotional.
Yeah.
And then Lisa's crying and saying she's like actually wants to release abandonment that she didn't realize that she had been grappling with from like her childhood.
Yeah.
How many siblings did she say she had?
She's one of five.
One of five. But her parents are like
almost... Or six. She either has...
I think she was saying there were a lot above her and then there were three below her.
Hmm. Maybe it's six. I know it's five. I think it's five.
Okay. But she was saying one time like her parents basically abandoned her on a playground because...
I don't... Okay. I think maybe phrasing it that way, she didn't really specify whether it was purposeful. I think what was hurtful to her was the idea that they could have left without realizing she was there.
Yeah.
And that was the main thing. Whether they did it purposefully or not was, like, aside from the point.
And I feel like she didn't say it, but she's also talking about, like, kind of feeling abandoned by Meredith, her only friend in the cast.
Mm.
And then, so once they're done, Meredith is also crying, and she said it brought back memories of her dad dying and this thing she talked about with her nephew dealing with mental health issues.
Yeah.
On the reunion last year. So, she was saying, like, it's intense, and I don't know if I want to do it. And I didn't realize it was going to get that intense.
Yeah.
Like, just, I thought it was going to be, like, a sound bath.
Yeah.
Like they always show on these shows.
She said...
Would you do something like that?
Yeah.
Well, we should look into doing something like that, then.
I feel like people... So, there's two things from this that I liked, or that I wanted to... touch on. One, I especially if you're not religious or spiritual, we still have, there's like our conscious mind and our subconscious mind, and you know, you can't really actually, like, you don't actually know what's going on in your subconscious, because mm-hmm. like that's why it's subconscious, it's under there, but it's where a lot of like of your thoughts actually occur, and it's where a lot of things that it's like your emotions and things you, your habits and things you do on a automated type of way that impact you on a daily basis. And part of the, how you like access that, how you can like work on that part of yourself is through symbolic, like ritual type things, which is why I think people, like when you go to church, you have mm-hmm. like these, or when people are all singing together, concerts can be very like powerful for people because there's like a for energy, me. A performative, right.
For me, weeping five times in a concert.
Yeah. The sounds, the emotion, the, you know, concerts have like a, songs have a performance to them. Those, like all those things help you to like get into your subconscious, which you like is something that as humans, and we're working on ourselves and being better, is something that you need to do. So doing something, you know, even if you're not like, even if you're atheist and you don't, you still have a subconscious mind, and like doing things like that can help you be your best self.
Interesting.
The second thing is that there are weird things about breathing that I don't think most people know. And I didn't even know this. And I don't know much about it, but like there's like breath work, which is, they did in this thing is something that people like actually know a lot about and can like do weird things to you. And some people have, I can't remember. It's like hypertrophic, heliotropic breathing or something like that.
Oh yeah.
And where it makes you like feel like you're on
drugs.
Drugs. just from breathing a specific pattern, which I find very, like, what is happening?
Didn't someone we know say they did that? Or they knew someone that did that?
I don't know.
And they said it, like, felt like they were actually
on drugs. Yes. Anyways, that's something, Google that, because it's strange. I didn't know it existed till like, a few months ago. Or maybe it was last year, or whatever. But there's a whole... It's just weird, the kooky things that are out there. I say kooky. I mean, I think it's very scientific. I don't think it's kooky, but like...
I also feel like when I was... I took this Buddhism class in college, and I feel like there's something with like meditation and like getting in a certain breathing pattern too.
Yeah.
That puts you in like a different state of mind, basically.
Right.
Sounds like this, kind of, what they were doing. Anyway, then they finish this. And they're all kind of, like, talking about their experience. And this is when Meredith says that she felt like she's having a weird emotions brought up because it's the anniversary of her dad's death coming up. And last time she was with this group, they weaponized his death, which I don't know if that's...
Okay, factually, I don't know if that's accurate, but emotionally, I could see, you know... I think it's true in the sense of, like, it made her... that it was connected to that topic made her feel bad.
Yeah. But then Lisa was like, I want to apologize because I used to be that safe space for you. And then she was just like, you are not a safe space, Lisa.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, she didn't release enough. Nope.
Well, that's not what she wasn't trying to release that. It was well-intentioned. I don't think it was the right time.
Exactly.
But I don't think it was graciously received.
I mean, she said it. And she was trying to, like, have that moment there while everyone was in this state. And it was just, like, not... Meredith wasn't having it in this moment.
Right.
Okay, so then Lisa kind of runs inside. And then Heather goes and checks on her. And then she was like, yeah, I'm fine. I just know in those kind of moments I need to, like, leave them. And this is when the shaman is like, well, you guys are going to dinner, so maybe this is a good time to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. Continue those conversations.
So awkward when Lisa said that, and then Meredith said that, they just, like, showed him a shot of the shaman, like, ooh.
Can you imagine, though, like, all these people who wind up, like, the therapists that are on the show, or, like, just these ancillary people who, like, provide services that they want to film, and they're like, oh, you know, this woman obviously does this either as a career or something she does part. I don't know. But just being approached to be like, would you do this on camera for like a huge national TV show? Like,
but you know that all these people are like, fuck yeah, I would. My business is going to get out there. Everybody wants to be famous. You know what I mean? Everybody wants their 15 minutes.
I don't know if that's true.
Okay, a lot of people want their 15 minutes.
I could see how it'd be good for business, but it's also like, I mean, there's been people who have done it, and it was not good for their reputation.
What was her name?
Yes. the medium.
I can't think of her name.
Allison.
Something. What did she say? Anyway, this is a Beverly Hills season one reference.
She said, I know exactly how she'll die. I know how her husband will die. And I love that about me.
Yeah, I love that about me.
So that's bad.
But honestly, iconic, though. She got her 15 minutes, and we're still talking about her. 13 years later.
Yep.
Okay, so then they come back out, and they go to dinner. Jen is kind of, like, talking about the same kind of things that she's been talking about with her own family, about, like, her fears about the trial. She said this thing that she got information at, like, 3 a.m., drove to her dad's gravesite.
Well, I think her dad, she's always talked about him like a leader in the family. And like when he passed, it like passed to her. So I think she wanted to be like he's to be the person she looked up to like take care of things and lead the family.
Gotcha.
And she doesn't have that anymore.
And then this whole, her talking about family makes Whitney start crying. And Lisa asks if she's okay. And then she does share with everybody that she has blocked out, she says 9 to 17 memories from that time period in her life, and that they're coming back up. And then she says she was in a very abusive situation, and it just, like, all been stuffed down really deep, and that she's blocked all memory of it. And Heather said you, and then Meredith said, you're brave, Whitney. And that was the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it feels like we're obviously going to have more of that conversation at the table
next week. At the start, yeah.
But, I mean, the thing about Salt Lake is, even though there's these heavy and a lot of... They talk about a lot of things that I feel like a lot of shows don't talk about, personally.
Yeah.
And they share a lot more than a lot of shows do, especially these shows. Like, everybody... It's kind of, like, hard watching Beverly Hills at the same time as this, because I just go back to how superficial all their shit is. And, like...
Well, they had... I mean, the most real thing so far this season was, like, Dorit and her home invasion.
That's true.
But that... I mean, that storyline was, like, 3 episodes. 4, right. Maybe.
And it wasn't even, like... I don't know.
And maybe it's also production, because Lisa's mom died, and they barely... Like, that's a heavy thing to talk about, and they barely spent time with that.
That's true. It's just hard watching it, like... I don't know, this whole episode was about all of them,
yeah,
and their fears and their trauma and their issues and their feelings. And it was, like, very good. It was still really good, like, TV. Like, I didn't want to stop watching it.
I know. I kind of want to rewatch it.
So, I mean, it's, like, it's crazy. I mean, we just go back to it. They have a great cast. They have great people. They have great people that are willing to do these things on camera and be themselves on camera. And then there's also little pockets of, like, funny. Like, yeah, the fudge college and the boob drinking. And
the boob greeting.
The boob greeting. Yeah. It's just fun. I don't know. I have a really good time with them. And it's never, although they're dealing with these topics, it's like, I really enjoy watching them and hearing them talk about it.
Yeah.
And you don't get that on a lot of reality shows.
Yeah. I mean, do you think... Well... I don't know. I was trying to think if there's another franchise that does it all the time, but there really isn't. I don't know.
But then they also bring the drama, and they bring the laughter. It's just, I don't know. It's just a great show.
Yes.
I'm happy it's back.
Yes!
So, next time on... They say all aboard the Jinshaw Express, and it's one of those bikes, and they show, like, drinks going everywhere, and, like,
they look like they get Whitney's, wild,
like, yeah, thighs on Jen's face,
yeah,
on the car,
yep.
And then they show that for a little bit, and then Meredith is saying, like, talking with Heather about Lisa, and they're basically saying, like, she said, it's hard to talk to someone who stabbed me in the heart. And then Heather says something about, like, stop being a condescending bitch. And they made it seem like she's talking to Meredith. But you think it's just editing. They're talking about someone else.
Right. Or she's saying it in general.
Yeah, it could really be they're just talking about someone in general. Or they're talking about Lisa. Whatever. And then... They show Whitney at dinner, and she's, like, talking to Lisa and saying that, like, I feel bad that I talked about these rumors. And they show Lisa crying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's obviously Lisa and Whitney become really good friends this season, but I don't know if this one is going to be immediately, like, if they're going to fight about it or not.
Well, they were on Watch What Happens Live together, so I think they move past.
Exactly. Whatever. I'm just saying I don't know if it's going to be this episode that they move past it yet.
Yeah.
And then... It seems like later at the table, it's like just Jen, Heather, and Whitney. And Whitney now is saying more rumors, saying that Angie... They were at a jazz game, which is hockey.
Don't ask
I think it's
me.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said they were at a jazz game, and Angie, we don't know which Angie, but I'm assuming Harrington, said, oh, that's the guy that Lisa sleeps with to get the jazz tickets, and points at someone. And then... Heather's like, I didn't know that. And then she's like, you did know that. And then she's like, no, I didn't. And then she says, you're lying. And then Heather says, fuck you for calling me a liar. No, fuck you for calling me a fucking liar. Fuck you!
Yeah.
And storms away.
This all seems a little, it looks like a very inebriated, fueled argument. But at the same time, we know they fall out. So I'm guessing this is part of it. It does seem like we'll have to wait to see it. It does seem like a strong reaction with a friend that you know that's saying that. So it made it feel more like she was trying to cover up the fact that she knew and Whitney wasn't doing it, and she was mad about that.
Yeah.
Is what it kind of feels like. But we'll have to see.
But, I mean, they were definitely all drunk, so.
Yeah.
You can just see it in the eyes.
But some people, as we know, are very triggered by being called a liar.
True.
So. T. I don't particularly like it either.
Liar.
You ever say something like that to me again, I'm coming for you.
The only person I care about is me.
Do you want to be sued?
Yeah, that was the episode. I'm really excited for next week. It seems like it's going to be an explosive one.
Yes, 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 yes.
Full of mini laughs and drunken escapades.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm Scottsdale.
More of the Dale of Joe's River. I feel like I'm excited, but I'm sad that this is probably the beginning of the fallout of bad weather. And
yeah.
So I'm not really looking forward. I am. I want to know what happens, but then I'm also, I don't want it to end yet, so.
Yeah. But I am kind of standing Lisa X Whitney, so.
Yeah. And like I said, I think Lisa is last season is winning. So I hope she stays in that vein.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that has been our episode. Thank you so much for listening. I don't think we said it last week, but we really appreciate you guys having listenership. As soon as we come back, I know we took a little bit off, but we are back in full swing. We'll be back next, hopefully Wednesday, maybe Thursday, depending on when Amazon decides to release the episode.
Right.
And if you enjoy it, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, share it with your Real Houses of Salt Lake City friends. We definitely want to reach as many people as we can on this. It's really fun having you guys, seeing your all's interest in it. If you want to go on Instagram, my Instagram is Tylee, T-Y-L-I-E, talk, T-O-K. You can leave comments on there. I do post some reels about our best parts of each episode, so you can definitely leave comments on there. And yeah, we're just very grateful to have you here. And
yeah, thank you so much.
This has been Privileged Twinks.
Yeah, have a good day. Bye.
Bye.